Welcome to a brand new episode of the Long Coat Mafia Podcast. It is I, the Reverend Godfather, the show's front man and main host. Lots to go over tonight, folks. And yes, even though when I do solo episodes like this, I have no show notes, I don't use them because it's just me trying to cover as much stuff as possible. But you know what? Coming off the Royal Rumble, I had to record it live, so it might come up. This episode might drop at about the usual time, about 2 a.m. Monday morning. But, like I said, why? Because the Royal Rumble just happened. Yes, I'll be covering that. And because watching the Royal Rumble was kind of a last-minute thing, it was a free trial of the WWE Network. We'll get into that. I had to drop one topic from my show notes, and that was pretty much two graphic novels I picked up today that were used. There was a kind of a book sale type of thing that I wanted to pick, that I saw. They caught my eye, and both books total cost me 50 cents. So I'll review those at another time, maybe next week or next by the time we do another hostful. Who knows? But we still have a lot to go into, so let's get into it. And that is pretty much one of the first things I want to go into is that there has been news on the RoboCop front. There has been a lot going around the rumor mill in regards to RoboCop. Like, is there going to be a sequel to the reboot that was out a few years ago? Is it, you know, what's going on? Because this news kind of popped up a few days ago, earlier this week, and so forth and so on. But it turns out in a lot of the articles I was looking at, and a lot of the commentators that were talking about this, they're all pretty much saying the same thing. Is that this RoboCop movie that's kind of in the works is not going to be a sequel to the reboot that was back in, I think, 2014, which was not that bad. But this is going to be a sequel, a direct sequel, to the original 1987 movie. Why? Don't know, but that's what is being planned. That the two sequels, RoboCop 2 and RoboCop 3, didn't happen. The TV series didn't happen. The cartoon didn't happen. The two miniseries didn't happen. Now, mind you, I kind of liked the reboot. The reboot, even though I didn't like that they kept the hand, but it was a pretty good movie. It was for a reboot. It wasn't half bad. It was, you know, it should have been an R rating, but or at least a soft R. But, you know, them doing it kind of a PG-13 type of ordeal wasn't bad. I like Samuel Jackson's character in it, doing what he does best. But when it comes to the original movies and everything else, I loved the original RoboCop. I don't think I saw it in theaters, but I do remember watching it a shit ton of times on TV, owning the VHS, owning the DVD. I should be owning it digitally in one form or another, but still, I loved the original. I loved RoboCop 2. To me, RoboCop 3 was eh, but I loved the TV series. I thought it was a whole mess of camp that I loved. Too bad it was cut short, but the miniseries, the two miniseries, oh my god, I thought when it came to the two miniseries, I thought nothing could be worse than the third movie. And here was two miniseries that was supposed to take place sometime after the third movie. And my God, did they suck. My God. Yeah. I don't want to go into it. I was trying to forget about the miniseries. Then they brought it up and they kind of brought all this stuff back. But still, do I want to see a direct sequel? I want to. Let me put it like this. Show me a trailer. Show me a trailer. Get me hyped up for this. But a lot of things about it, with them doing stuff like this and a lot of things that are coming out, which we'll get into a moment, which is we'll go into next and we'll kind of segue into Netflix stuff. But It's one of those things that a lot of movies that are coming out shortly seems that no one really gives a shit. Whereas 5-10 years ago, where you heard movies coming out, it was, oh my God. But that's part of the thing, what's going on, is that a lot of the movies that are coming out are kind of meh. Look at the Independence Day sequel. Did we kind of want it? Yes, but it just fell flat. And because of during the summer season, where a lot of these so-called blockbusters are coming out, they're falling flat. Why? Who knows? But I think a lot of it is because when you have places like Netflix and Amazon Prime, just, you know, hey, we're putting shit out that rocks and that's heavy hitting, people are able to at least stay home where it's nice and cool in their house. And they got plenty of cheap snacks and everything else. And it takes a lot for a lot of people to go out to see these blockbusters. But that being said, one of the things that is coming out too is a Duke Nukem movie. I don't think anybody asked for Duke Nukem movie. And supposedly, John Cena is on board with this. Can he handle kind of the humor? Maybe. There has been some roles, even though they were kind of kiddie in one shots. I don't think he has the acting chops for these roles. But if it's just a throwaway movie like Duke Nukem, let's give it a shot. But then again, it's produced by Michael Bay. If the aspect of the Ninja Turtles is anything to go by, it's going to suck. And it's going to lay credence to a lot of video game movies, Jumanji excluded, being pieces of shit. Again, show me the trailers. Let's see how big of a flop this is going to be. Or is it going to be something similar to a direct-to-DVD or video-on-demand release? So, that's how things are. But I want to see, show me a trailer. Show me, you know, if this is moving forward, what's going on, and how things are going with it. And also, that being said, to kind of move things forward, because a lot of this is going to be two major rants that I want to get to and get through, one of which, again, is going to be the Royal Rumble, and the other one is going to be about Mountain Dew Ice. If there is any rush or you want me to go into further detail, please email the show at longcoatmafia@gmail.com or leave us a message on our Facebook page, which is facebook.com/ The Long Coat Mafia Podcast. And then, yes, I'm working on a YouTube channel, our YouTube channel, and a Facebook group associated with the show. That way, you, our listeners, have better interaction with the show. And if you guys want to promote stuff or talk to the show, it's a little bit easier that way if you want to. So there's that. But kind of moving along, is that Cloverfield 3, the rumor is coming out that it is set to be released maybe sometime in April, maybe March, so who knows. But then again, we have a lot of heavy hitters coming out in March and April, one of which is probably Ready Player One, and plus we still have early to mid-February, we have Black Panther, and we have at least probably one or two movies coming out in April, including Super Troopers 2, which was fan-funded through, I think, GoFundMe or Kickstarter, and so I probably want to see that. But what I've been kind of hearing in the rumor mill, because Cloverfield is kind of a big hit here in the States, but not really so much overseas, that as soon as it does its theatrical run, which might be 2 or 3 weeks or a month at the tops, it might go straight to video on demand and Netflix, which means that could be a good thing in a way. Or the whole movie could skip, you know, instead of saying, you know what, we haven't done really that well in theaters, so fuck it. It's not going to be a direct DVD type of ordeal. Let's put it direct to Netflix, because Bright was a thing. So let's continue the anthology on Netflix, earn our money there, and kind of, you know, just do this, you know, earn our money on Netflix, forget about the theaters where we'll be losing money, and pay for promotion. That way, once people are home, they can watch in their relaxed environment with their friends, with their loved ones, whoever, you know, group of people that love Cloverfield. Cloverfield 10 was kind of okay. It was good in its own right. But I think, personally, when it comes to the whole aspect of Cloverfield, I'm a fan, but I'm not a fan. I'm a fan of the aspect of what they're trying to do, but I'm not a fan of the fact that, okay, here's Cloverfield, which was, in essence, was a one-shot, and I know I'm also talking about Netflix in regards to this, and there's more Netflix news coming up, but one of the things I loved about Netflix, it was not Netflix, but Cloverfield, is that, at least the original one, even though it was a found, quote-unquote, found footage film, it was a monster movie type of thing, but, and J.J. Abrams did a good job with it, but, again, here's the thing, it's not a continued universe, that's number one, with the series. Number two is that you had this found footage film, and with most of the marketing surrounding a different story that seemed to be told, kind of around this movie, and plus, the sequel had its own, oh, you have to dig around Reddit and the internet for its own backstory and so forth and so on. And this third one, which is called Cloverfield 3 or Cloverfield, the God Particle, it's like, okay, three, the first one's in one universe, the second one's another universe, and the third one's going to be a different universe. So how are they all going to kind of combine each other, if that, but J.J. Abrams is saying, no, this is an anthology series, not a movie. Fuck, man, jeez, Louise, if you're going to do sequels, please, you know, tie them together, make it, you know, if you're making a monster movie series, fine, make a monster movie fucking series. If you want to make your own Godzilla type of goddamn series, do it, but tie them together. Don't give us, you know, when Cloverfield dropped, it was, okay, what was the story behind the monster? Okay, it was this person that kept, in essence, trying new flavors, and with all these chemicals, the person kept growing and mutating, and what the creatures that, or the, like, the fleas and the ticks that bit on this person, or latched onto this person, had the chemicals in, sucked the chemicals out of this person, they became mutated and large, and it was all because of this backstory sort of thing. But people were like, no, no, that's not the truth. It's because of this satellite that fell to Earth and woken up this Godzilla-type creature. That's five different stories. No. No. Give us one story. Give it flat out. Tell a goddamn story. At least that's my opinion on that. But if Cloverfield 3 is a thing, if Cloverfield God, or Cloverfield God Particle is a thing, there's no poster, no trailer, no nothing. Just rumors that it might go to Netflix. The fuck? There's got to be some news if they're hiding it. If anything, there might be actually no news until San Diego Comic-Con, in reference to what's going on with this shit. But, and to continue with that, Netflix has put out a statement that they're not worried about Disney. Here's the thing. What they pretty much said, the CEO said, once Disney does their streaming service, that the CEO pretty much said, I'll be the first to sign up. But with their Fox, with Disney's deal with Fox, which is not so much finalized and over and done with, they still have to go through the FTC, the Federal Trade Commission, to, this is just legal details that big businesses have to go through in order to get stuff or merge together in some way and acquire stuff. I see it going through because it's not really a monopoly. There are other big studios out there and branches out there that, you know, this is not going to hinder anything. Plus, it's going to increase Disney's library overall when it comes down to their streaming service. Now, here's the thing. When with the streaming market, right now, you have Netflix with about 100 million subscribers. The close second right now is probably Amazon Prime, and a distant third in the paid streaming market is Hulu, with about a tenth of what Netflix has. And the main reason why you don't see more popularity with Hulu is because they kind of limit, for the exception of maybe their stuff and a few places, few channels, like maybe South Park and I would like to say Fox, but even them, it's kind of stupid. But they kind of limit to 5 shows, and that's it. And after 5 shows, you're kind of screwed. That's why you had the CW kind of jumping ship. The 2016 to 2017 year, because they, you know, they said, you know, we're only limited to 5. We want to keep that our show. We want fans that kind of watch all our shows at once. If they, for some reason, hop in at maybe mid-season and they want to catch up, they are able to catch up, even though we're offering stuff with commercials. It's free. That's the thing with us. Now, and I kind of agree with that, even though Big Candy doesn't really have the streaming for that. He's waiting for a lot of stuff to come to Netflix. And I can understand that sort of thing coming to Netflix, or at least waiting till things come to Netflix to watch everything at once, no commercials, and the only thing you have to deal with is Netflix pretty much asking, are you still watching? And that's fine, that's dandy, but the only thing you have to deal with is the aspect of friends, family, and other people on the internet spoiling the shit for you before you get a chance to watch it. Because with people like me and Big Candy, if it's not readily available through either a service like Hulu, we have to wait until it drops on Netflix. And or if we want to watch it week to week, we have to season pass it through a service such as the PlayStation Network, Xbox Live, or Vudu. And meaning we season pass it for a certain amount of money, and we get the episodes, hopefully, on a weekly basis. And the reason why I say that is because sometimes services like Xbox Live, the PlayStation Network, Amazon Prime, and Vudu, when something drops, at least in my experience, is supposed to drop the next day, sometimes it does not drop the next day. Meaning, I've used to season pass stuff like Doctor Who, The Walking Dead, and NCIS, and what would happen was, I was supposed to get it the day after it was supposed to drop, I should say the day after it aired. Meaning if it aired on a Tuesday, I was able to watch it Wednesday when either I got up, or B, I came home from my 9-to-5 job. And sometimes instead of when it was supposed to drop, which would have been that Wednesday morning in this example, I wouldn't get that episode until Saturday. There was one instance where I season passed the baseline NCIS, the original NCIS, that's been on for about 12 plus years. And Netflix, pretty much midway through the season, said, fuck it, we're not airing it. If you paid good money for this show, and at that time it was like $35, $40, you just were out $35, $40. And there was no email from, you know, Xbox Live saying, yeah, we don't have the rights to this anymore, or, yes, for those with good ears, a freight train is going by. But still, when I contacted Xbox Live and I asked, you know, what the hell is going on? They said, what's the matter? I said, well, I season passed with you on Xbox Live for the original Mark Harmon NCIS. I haven't gotten an episode in like a month and a half. what the hell? And they're like, did you season pass this? I said, yes. I bought the season pass in November. What gives? And they're like, okay. They looked it up and they're like, well, yeah, you season passed. Did you season pass NCIS LA? No. Did you season pass NCIS New Orleans? No, the original, the one that those two branched off of. And they looked into my purchase history, and they found me buying the original NCIS, and they're like, we see it. I said, yeah, now do a search for NCIS. And they were like, well, we got the LA, and we got New Orleans. I said, exactly. Your competitors have those four episodes. I don't, what's going on? Is this a, you know, did you guys lose the rights? What's going on? And they did some digging. They said, no, we didn't lose the rights. I said, in that case, what the hell's going on? And they're like, well, we don't know. Since we don't know, they pretty much refunded the full amount of what I paid for that season pass. Now, granted, Xbox Live did still does kind of have this problem. I haven't tried it with Xbox One yet, but Vudu kind of has that problem too, where it's supposed to drop on like a Wednesday, and I haven't seen it until almost a week later. And it's stupid. This is a habit with digitally, and when you have networks that kind of monitor a little bit the stuff that is available digitally, it kind of messes with those day after and a week, 2 days after and a week, you know, later viewings numbers that they want to see. So that's that. So a lot of people do wait until it drops on Netflix. And again, with Hulu is mostly owned by Disney. So what I am going to theorize right here and now is the fact that when Disney's ready to take control of their streaming service, they're going to pretty much probably go to Hulu and go, guess what? We want to take over. We're going to run things. We got the majority of you guys. Hulu's no longer Hulu. If you have a Hulu account, fine. We're going to up the price to from like $8 to $10. Everybody's going to get, you know, no commercial streaming, and you're going to get everything Disney. Disney that's on our channel, or that programming, the Fox stuff, and we're going to work with deals that people that are on Hulu and have that content as well. I hope that's the case, and that would probably be a great way for them to actually have a strong foothold in the streaming market, especially if they have that control over Hulu. Let's go on. Let's take a brief little thing. I'll drink so we can go on with more, a little bit more new movie news. And that being that it came to light again through various sources that the Razzies were released, some of the announcements for the Razzies. The one that most people had a fucking shit fit over was Jennifer Lawrence. That's right, people had a shit fit over Jennifer Lawrence. Not anything in regards to her in particular, is just that she was nominated for a Razzie for the film she did last year called Mother. Now, Mother was a pretty much, from what I was told, it was split. I mean, not just split in regards to reviews, but the hate was, there was more hate for this movie than there was for Star Wars: The Last Jedi. That it pretty much sucked. It was almost, from what I heard, it's almost Halle Berry Catwoman level suck in regards to this movie. So what did the Razzies do? Is nominate Jennifer Lawrence for Worst Actress. Now, the Razzies are kind of like where the Oscars are for, you know, all these beautiful films that are coming out or have been out over the past year. The Razzies are, you know, okay, here's the worst film, worst films, and we're going to give you an award, and, you know, hey, you sucked, here's an award. But most people like Halle Berry and many other actors have graciously, with great humor, taken the Razzies Razzie Awards, and they saw it, you know, yeah, fine, it sucked, okay, I won an award, you know, why not, you know? But Twitter, when it came to hearing that Jennifer Lawrence is nominated for a fucking Razzie, had their atypical shit fit, like, how dare you, and how dare, well, probably because Mother probably sucked that bad, they found other movies that probably sucked worse, but when it came out for the performance, well, Jennifer Lawrence kind of wasn't that good in this movie, so, for all the Twitter please, like, just calm, you know, calm me britches, you know, calm down, let Jennifer, don't, I think me and Big Kenny have said this before, when it comes to stupid shit and people being offended, let the person themselves say something. Now, I haven't heard what Jennifer Lawrence has said about being nominated for a Razzie, but I'm sure she's been nominated before for one, and it probably won't be her last. Just that, please, people of Twitter, if you're listening to this, let them fight their own damn battles, please. You know, I know there's the term white knighting. There, for all you who think that you're going to white knight Jennifer Lawrence to get between her and her panties, please, you probably have about as much chance as I do, and I have between a negative 50 and negative infinity in that ever happening. So, you know what? That's that. Please, if you want to rip me about, you know, what I said, fine, whatever. But still, let's move on from this cringeworthy topic about Jennifer Lawrence getting nominated for a fucking Razzie and Twitter having a shit fit over it, because I'm sick and tired of it, and sick and tired of a lot of these people just, you know, going down and just being stupid. But from that going down to different being down, we had word today come in for the third time this week that the PlayStation Network was down due to, a lot of people were saying it was due to it being unstable for various reasons. There was no real reason put out whether it was hackers or anything else. I know there was a couple of new games out for the PlayStation Network, one of which was the new Monster Hunter game, so who knows, but it being the third time this week, and it's, I don't know, as of this recording, that it's up more stable, but a lot of times when I read the article earlier today, it was on its way to being mended and fixed. So, that said, that the PlayStation Network has always been this tissue paper network, even though a lot of people use it to connect with each other, play multiplayer games, like through Borderlands, Call of Duty, or whatever the exclusives are for the PlayStation Network, or live stream onto YouTube, like what Sasha the Princess of Darkness does, and Reverend J. Leal does with his Skyrim gameplays. That's that, you know, there's a lot of that going on, and yes, I should be streaming more through the Mixer Network on my Xbox Live, but that's a different story. But with all this happening, all these chances to stream and play with friends, yeah, it's going to be flaky, but they've been flaky since they were down, I think, for over a month several years ago. I know it's quite a while since that happened, but still, they've always been known to be very flaky, and that's, even though they have probably the better console now, their network has been far inferior to other networks like the Xbox Live network. Now, that being said, in an effort to kind of struggle and gain new people to the Xbox One aspect of things, or the Xbox One S, Xbox Live pretty much announced, or Xbox, Microsoft, whomever you want to say, has announced, or should I say, they have their own streaming service. I don't mean Xbox Live. Let me put it like this. You have Xbox Live and the PlayStation Network. That's their own separate baseline things that Yeah, you could play with apps on, use apps like Hulu, the WWE Network, Netflix, YouTube, so forth and so on. And you have, both networks have their own game streaming service. I'm not sure what the PlayStation streaming service is for games, but their streaming service is that if you play a game on their streaming service, like Monster Hunter or Borderlands or what have you, you're streaming that game. Now, Microsoft for Xbox Live has something similar, and I'm not too familiar what it's called, but I keep seeing adverts that for $10 a month, now both services for the PlayStation and Xbox Live, they're about the same price, $10 a month for the streaming service. If on the PlayStation network side of things, if it's less, please let me know. Our email is longcoatmafia@gmail.com. Now, the Xbox Live aspect of things is that when you are part of their game, that streaming service, and you want to play Gears of War, or you want to play Left 4 Dead, not so much Left 4 Dead, but the latest Call of Duty game, or Destiny, or something like that, you actually download that game. You download it, and that's it. And as long as you're paying for that subscription service, you're able to have access to that game. But what Microsoft came out in saying is that they're starting with the exclusives for Microsoft, like Crackdown and a few others, maybe like Halo, that once the game is released, day one, that game is going to be available on this game streaming service. That's right, that means something like Crackdown, day one, as soon as it drops, day one, if you're a member of the streaming service, you're able to play Crackdown 3 right out the gate. That means for $10, you got a brand new game. All you have to do is, after that, is as long as you're a member of the service, you got the game. You don't have just that game. You have possibly hundreds of their back catalog as well. So far as I've heard, it is strictly their exclusives, like Halo, Crackdown, and a few others, and maybe like Gears of War. No word yet in regards to other game titles that when they drop at day one, like something like Destiny, or which we'll get into in a minute, or World of Warcraft, or whatever game is multi-console released, or third-party released, will be part of this, you know, day one, able to stream it as well for $10. But from what I've heard in regards to this announcement, is that there is a couple of stores out of Austria that have said that because Xbox and Microsoft is doing this, that they are pretty much saying, hey, if you're doing this, we're not selling your consoles anymore. That's it. And therefore, with that, it's like, hey, if you're going to do this, we're going to lose money off the consoles. Which means, I think what they're saying is, and from what I've heard, when it comes to a place like Walmart, Kmart, Target, Best Buy, or what have you, at least here in the States, the profit that when it comes to a console is the fact that if it's $400, they buy it for maybe about $350, and they're only making $50 for it, whereas a game off the shelf like Destiny or Call of Duty or WWE 2018, they're paying $10 and making $60. Per se, this is an example. I'm not sure exactly the right numbers, but it's just for the sake of argument and basic math and discussion. So they figure, at least from these Austrian companies and sales outlets, they're figuring that if we're not making as much off the consoles as we would the games, and people are just staying home and getting the games on the cheap that way, why should we sell the consoles, period? And yes, I could agree with that, but here in the States, let me put it like this. In European countries, they have better access to high-speed internet than we do here in the States. There are parts of this country that literally suck donkey balls in regards to internet. There are a lot of places in this country that still have 56 KBS internet. That's it. Or a lot of places have slower internet than what you would have in D.C. or New York or where I'm at here in the Eastern Panhandle of West Virginia. Where I could have close to 100 up and down, there maybe 5 or 10 megabits, that's it. Where, again, I'm at 100 megabits up and down, they're at 5, 2 to 5 or less. So, that, you know, here in the States, there's always going to be that market for physical copies of games. But that's always the benefit here in the States. But you're not going to really see the outlets in regards to the full digital, even though we are, or seems to be heading that way. But one of the things to kind of curb things and curb stores' little antsiness is that what Microsoft is doing and Xbox is doing is they're going to be selling six month cards for this service, which means you're able to go to a place like Walmart, Target, maybe GameStop, pick up a three or six month card. Right now it's a 6 month card, but a 3 or 6 month card, and enter in a code, and that grants you that amount of time for that service. Which is a good thing, because there are many people like myself that don't know whether or not 6 months down the road, 3 months down the road, 6 months down the road, or a year down the road, that, you know, hey, I don't know if I'll be able to afford this that far down the road. Let me buy a 6 month card now. I have the money for it now. I'll pay for it now. So that's a good thing. That's always a good thing. And free trials are a good thing. We'll get into more about that again in a little bit. And to kind of move on, Destiny has been, over the past month of January, and even, I don't think I touched about it in December of last year, or any point in this year, but Destiny has been going through its own fucking shit. Because last year, they had their whole aspect of that they were kind of, if you earned, let's say, like 1,000 XP in a match, you're only in certain aspects of that game, whereas if you were playing a player versus player match, you were getting 1,000 XP. If you were playing a raid, you were probably getting 1,000 XP. And if you were playing what they call a strike, you were getting 1,000 XP. But if you were playing what's a public event or some aspects of the storyline, you were not getting 1,000 XP. You were getting like 500. And because they kind of hide how much you're getting, or meaning whereas something like Final Fantasy or Borderlands or games like that, there you can pull up in the menu screen saying, okay, this is how much XP you have. This is how much you have left to go before you reach the next level. Now, Destiny does not do this. So, in Reddit, somebody figured this out, that they were not getting the XP that they were supposed to get. And they released the information. Destiny went, yeah, our bad. And they kind of, instead of stretching it out across the board and just fixing it, they said, okay, instead of it being, let's say, 100,000 experience points to get each level, now it's 200,000 XP to get each level. It's all because when you hit these levels, you got the loot, kind of like a loot box type of thing. And because they also sold these loot boxes, they would rather bring in that income from those loot boxes. And that's why they were also part of this whole loot box conspiracy that I kind of touched on last month in regards to that. Because people were sick and tired of Eververse and paying for these fucking loot boxes. Now, the Christmas season hit, and what happened was people were finding out the only way to get the holiday loot boxes was, or the only way to get them was, in essence, pay for them. That I was hearing numbers that you would have to pay anywhere to get everything that the loot boxes offered, all the exotics and everything else, you'd have to pay anywhere between $600 and $1,600 to get everything for a $60 game. This is before they told people found out as well over the last month that, I should say, when their first expansion dropped last month or early November, that everything was going behind the DLC. So when fans bitched about that, they released that. They went, our bad, we're sorry, here you go. Now, again, with the holiday stuff, what I found out about that, you know, when I was playing the rare occasions I was playing Destiny 2 during the holidays, in order to get the special urn, the special loot boxes, because when you hit that level cap, you got the atypical game loot box that you would earn, not a holiday loot box. In order to earn a holiday loot box, you would actually have to do either a player versus player. If you didn't play that, therefore you didn't get anything from that, or turn in special quests that you were able to pick up and turn in that way. But in order to, what I found out is that you had to, let's say it would be something like this. One, collect, kill, or I should say, shoot certain types of enemies. Okay, you do that. The second part of that quest would be, okay, go to this planet and collect this type of item. But when you went to that planet, the frequency of that item being spawned around that map was very, 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 very rare. And people had enough. So the only people that were actually getting these holiday loot boxes were the folks that were shoveling money at Eververse for this. And people didn't like it. Now, and word came out again that within this holiday loot box exclusive bullshit, that they were going to pretty much do the same in January for Valentine's Day. I don't know if they were going to do something for Easter, but they were going to do it for Valentine's Day. And players were pretty much saying, oh, fuck no. Fuck no, we ain't having this shit. And the makers of Destiny, Bungie and Activision pretty much went, yeah, okay, our bad, we won't, you know, we'll fix it. And they kind of did that. They said it won't happen again. We'll kind of make it so that it won't. Now, recently, within the past 2 or 3 weeks, because I haven't been touching Destiny for a little bit, what word has come out is that they had what's called a faction event. And what these faction events is that you could sign up for one group in-game for special loot. And there's like several different factions, like 3 or 4 factions. And during public events and other in-game stuff, you're able to earn tokens that you turn in for special stuff. And the faction that gets the most tokens turned in wins a special prize at the end of the week. Now, what people have found out was Bungie and Activision was shaving these tokens, which means they were pulling an XP bullshit for these tokens, which means that instead of you the player playing this game, getting, let's say, 5 tokens in a public event match, you're getting 3. Or 2, or none at all, in most cases. And people had a fucking shit fit. And because of all this was going down within weeks of their holiday bullshit, and weeks after their experience, you know, earning bullshit, and the loot box bullshit, people got fucking furious. And Bungie said, okay, we've looked into it, we discussed it, we're sorry, this is what we're going to do. And they pulled out a plan that spans all the way until the end of the year, or if not, the beginning of 2019. And there are fans that are fucking livid, saying, we have to wait a full goddamn year before we could actually play the game the way it's supposed to be played. And you're still fucking shit up. And now this is before word has come around, or them promising even other shit, like, what Destiny promised with Destiny 2 was, okay, trading. They never gave us trading. We wanted trading. We never got trading. Being able to wear more than one exotic, or use more than one exotic at one time, which means you have four exotics for armor, you're only allowed to use one. Not two, not three, not four, just one at a time. Can we do that now? Fuck no! If you had one, there's four, three or four different weapon slots. Are you able to use all three slots if you have an exotic weapon? Fuck no! Only one at a time. Which could screw you up. And there has been some rumors in regards to, well, yeah, it's only, remember, everything's just cosmetic. Yet you can only earn this stuff to earn better equipment, which is not cosmetic. So in essence, they're lying, and they're thinking of, because of how things are and how weapons are being earned, they're taking away the aspect of the player versus player, which means if I'm at a level of 300, they'll put me at other people that are 300. But here's the tricky thing. What they would do is that even if they have better weapons or better customization on those weapons, they'll put me in that match because those people spent a couple hundred hours to earn those special costumes and shaders, and they plop down maybe extra money to earn extra fake money in order to buy other loot boxes to get better equipment. So, and that's in essence fucked up. That's why their player base is going downhill, and there has been several reports saying that there have been a lot of people in the stock market business that are kind of devaluing, like, Bungie's and Activision stock. Now, what's going to happen is, from what I gather from a lot of sources, is that what is, even though Bungie / Activision has this kind of abusive relationship with its fans, which means, meaning that it, what they're going is, we're sorry, we'll fix it. We'll be fixing it within about a month. And the fans are going, okay, we'll come back. But, and that's what they do, is that vicious cycle. But, in regards to like something like Battlefront, they might just go away for a few months and just bring it back. But what's going to happen is people, as much as we don't like it, we bitch, we whine, we say we're not going to do it, they're just going to shove it down our throat whether we want it or not. But, what else do we have? What do we else have? More rant time. To move on. Before we get into the Royal Rumble, which is, we're getting in there. I did manage to find a bunch of Mountain Dew ice. As a matter of fact, when you hear me pause and take a drink, like now, it's me trying Mountain Dew ice. Now, I got to release a video for the my taste testing and comparing it with Sprite and Sierra Mist Twist. I found out that it tastes more like Sierra Mist twist than it does Sprite. But it has a little bit more of a kick due to the fact that Sierra Mist Twist is caffeine-free and Mountain Dew is bogged down with caffeine. But what I had an angry rant about is that the aspect of this particular product being so sluggish coming to my area that it's fucking disgusting. Literally, it's fucking goddamn disgusting. Granted, I know a lot of you are saying, yeah, but Mountain Dew is a Pepsi product. They have a right to... Yeah, they have that right. But when you're a company that's spreading out a product, even though it's a limited-run product, and if it's a nationwide release, it should be available nationwide. And I cited in my YouTube video, which I'll drop and I'll kind of comb over a little bit here, is that last month, during the holidays, I should say in December, during the holiday season, Pepsi released Pepsi Caramel. Now, a friend of the show, Sasha Mullen, has said that she found and tasted this product, and I think she did a video about it, in regards to it, and she found it at a Sheetz. Now, here in the West Virginia Panhandle, I went to several Sheetz that I was able to get to. Two Rocks, two 7-Elevens, a Weis, and a Walmart. No Pepsi Caramel. And they were only available in 20-ounce bottles. Which means in a population where Sasha lives, it's about maybe... not even 10,000 people, and she was able to acquire this product. Now, granted, she works at a Sheetz, but don't quote me on it. I don't know where she works fully, but still, she was able to acquire a bottle. Me, myself, I would have loved to try this and see how it went. Now, mind you, other Pepsi products like Pepsi Fire and Pepsi Clear were in stores in my area. When they were around, and I did try them, and quite enjoyed them. Now, I must also say that while it was also a limited release nationwide, the only place I was able to acquire Hi-C Ecto Cooler was in the local Weis, or Weis, depending on what you want to call it. Was it in our local Food Lion / Shop and Save? Nope. Was it in our local Walmart? Nope. Was Ecto Cooler in our local Martins? Nope. Was Crystal Pepsi in our local Weis, Food Lion / Shop and Save, or Martins? Nope. Where was it? It was in 7-Elevens. It was in our Walmart, and I think it was also in our Sheetz's, and I think it might have been in our Rox's as well. But that was it. Every other place did not have it. Now, regards to Mountain Dew Ice, because that's what I'm getting into right now as I'm saying this, I pretty much had to buy a 12-pack of cans. Had to. Because the only place selling this product was our local Walmart. The only product they were selling at our local Walmart was the 12-pack cans. I checked at least our Weis. They did not have this product whatsoever. Whether it's the 20-ounce bottles or a 2-liter bottle. Now, mind you, there is somebody I know who I've interviewed on this show. He goes by the name of Nick Hunt. In his area down in Florida, they had a 2-liter bottle. As a matter of fact, he has posted a picture of this 2-liter bottle of Mountain Dew Ice. Sasha, the Princess of Darkness herself, has had a 20-ounce bottle and tasted it herself on her YouTube channel. And she was able to, like I said, find a 20-ounce bottle of this product. Now, mind you, again, I went to several places, including Minute Marts, supermarkets, and the only place that was selling any type of Mountain Dew Ice was Walmart. This past weekend, my local Walmart in the Eastern Panhandle, which fucking sucks. Now, I can hear you guys and gals and other listeners saying, why didn't you go to Winchester or where Sasha, you know, pretty much lives and get a product there, or Hagerstown? The fact of the matter is, I, at the moment, is vehicle impaired. I am not spending, in order for me to get to a place like Winchester or Hagerstown, would be via taxi. And that would cost me anywhere between $30 and up to get to these locations, one way. I am not spending $60 at most, if not more, for a $1.50 product. I will not. Or, like in the case of the SNES Classic, I will not spend double my money for a $70 product. It's stupid, it's illogical. Frankly, I will not do it. I will hunt down places in my own area for this product or a product, but that is it. Now, when I was at Walmart and I did see the 12 packs of cans and they were kind of offering free samples, I already heard about Nick Hunt's 2-liter bottle. I've heard about several people posting on after his post, saying they were able to find 12-ounce bottles in their local Walmarts in surrounding areas where he lived in Florida and surrounding states in Florida, especially where Sasha lives in Pennsylvania. Now, the person at Walmart was saying and was telling their customers after several have asked this employee, do they make 2-liter bottles of this product? Her response was, sorry, they don't. And which I replied, yes, they do. And the employee told me, we were told they do not. Therefore, we were told by Pepsi, our distributor, they do not make this product in 2-liter bottle form. In which I had my smartphone, went onto Nick Hunt's profile, pulled up the photo, and showed it to this particular employee. And I said, then you tell me, is this 2-liter bottle of Mountain Dew Ice, in which you could see the label saying Mountain Dew Ice, a fake? In which there was a little bit of stuttering from the product. From this employee. Now, that's my thing in regards to this. If Mountain Dew is making a 2-liter product of this item, of this brand, Mountain Dew Ice, it would be the second, or I would say the fourth product in 2-liter bottle form from Mountain Dew. The other three being regular Mountain Dew, Diet Mountain Dew, and Voltage. I would almost die for a 2-liter bottle of Code Red. I'd be buying it off the shelf in quantities, if it was available, and when they were on sale for $1 a bottle. Apparently, they don't make a 2-liter bottle of Code Red. There have been times I've seen other bottles of Mountain Dew flavors, but Code Red. Which fucking sucks. I'm a fan of Code Red, and I'm a fan of regular Mountain Dew. And it just plain sad and sickens me. And the fact that most of these areas is, they treat like the panhandle like a dead zone. That I've said this before. It's like, yeah, we could get heroin, crack, and other illicit drugs in the West Virginia panhandle. But when it comes to soda and food and everything else that is coming into the area, it's fuck those people. We don't want to do it. As a matter of fact, I've been to several locations. I have to check my Target. But I'm willing to say they don't have it, and that's the, I don't know if they're making it still, but there have been, I've checked various places in regards to it, and that's Nintendo has made a new cereal, and the box is kind of like an amiibo type of thing. Walmart doesn't have it, and Weiss doesn't have it. Now, mind you, there have been several people that are saying that this product is under lock and key in the Nintendo case because they don't want people stealing it to, or buying it in bulk quantities and flipping it for an enormous price. Now, our Walmart, in their NES case, only has their NES products. As a matter of fact, I haven't seen an SNES Classic in that case, period. So, I have to probably, one of these days, make it to our Target to see if they have it there. But that's that. And I mean, to me, it's stupid. And the fact of the matter is, right now, Pepsi is using their Classic label. And it's like, yeah, we'll sell you these mass-produced Classic label Pepsi and Pepsi Sugar and Pepsi 1800 and this, that, and the other thing. But when it comes to some of our limited-run flavors or seasonal flavors, it's, you know, even though it's a national-wide release, fuck these people. That's, you know, that's not saying you're customer-friendly or you want to make money in my eyes. Especially if you're saying it's a national-wide release, but it's not available nationwide, because there are people that, in some cases, it's hard for them to get, or even harder to get to places that are selling it. Now, that rant being over, let's kind of move on to the Royal Rumble. Yes, our Royal Rumble. I was about 5 minutes late getting to the story, and what you hear me rustling is me doing show notes, or looking at show notes. This was the first WWE event I have seen, or show, call what you want, in well over 2 years. Why? Because I heard rumblings that Daniel Bryan was going to be in the Rumble tonight. If you haven't seen it, spoilers. And if you're still listening and you want to listen to the end of the show, you have been warned. And if you complain about spoilers, you are not listening. But, like I said, I heard rumors that Daniel Bryan was going to be in this and that he was going to win it. Well, that was just plain rumor. So, which we'll get into in a moment. But all day today, I was hearing about through Facebook that, not so much from my friends on my personal Facebook page, that tonight was the Rumble, but the fact that what was constantly being brought up on my feed was a free trial to the WWE Network. So, not to mention they were saying that if you get the free month trial, plus you'll be able to see the Royal Rumble tonight. So I pretty much said, you know what, I'm going to be recording this episode tonight. Might as well watch the Rumble and at least give my thoughts about it. It's been a while since I've seen any type of WWE product, whether it be Raw, SmackDown, what have you. You know what, why not? Let's give it a shot. Let's give it a free trial. My overall opinion is that when I try to kind of go back a little bit and watch kind of like a replay, and when I need to get the right spelling of a wrestler's name, what would happen was it would literally freeze. And I would still hear the commentary of what was going on and what was being said, but the picture would freeze. Then all of a sudden, like it was trying to, even though it was like the video was buffering, it would automatically go right past the one section that I needed to get the proper spelling. And once I got that proper spelling down, I went back to it going live. I put it back on live, and the picture just froze. I was able to hear what was going on. It wasn't until I backed off about a minute before it actually caught up with itself and was able to be synced. But like I said, I thought, why not? And the main, like with most WWE matches, they held a lot of matches prior. It seemed like with this, the main matches, or there were some matches probably prior to it. They mixed in a couple of title matches. I'm going to stick with just the Rumble portions of it, even though they did, it seemed like, because they were the main eyes, there was two Rumble matches, 30-person matches. One was the guys' match, and this year was the first ever women's Royal Rumble. And I'll get to that in a minute and give you my thoughts on that. Trust me, they will be positive. No real negatives in regards to it. But they, meaning what they would do is with the regular Royal Rumble is that, or event like the Royal Rumble, is that they would have the Royal Rumble and a big headlining act right after it, whether it be a championship match or so forth and so on. But the main headlining act was the Women's Royal Rumble. I have no qualms with that. But I'm just going to stick with the Royal Rumbles themselves, both the Men's Royal Rumble and the Women's Royal Rumble. Now, with the guys, my first surprise was that Broken Hardy, in essence, Matt Hardy, was part of the Royal Rumble. Like I said, I haven't been keeping in touch with the WWE, but it was nice to see Matt Hardy being Broken Hardy in, or Woken Hardy in this, and him and Bret Wyatt going after each other in the ring as a part of the Royal Rumble. Even though he didn't last long with both of him and Bret just going over the top rope. Now, for those who are not familiar with the Royal Rumble, what the Royal Rumble is in regards to WWE is that what happens is the only way you're eliminated is that you have to be tossed over the top rope and both feet have to hit the floor. If one of your feet, or if they don't hit the floor, you're not considered out. You're not considered out of the match or out of the Royal, or eliminated from Royal Rumble. Over the many years, there has been loads and loads of interesting ways of, at least when it comes to the guys, of not being eliminated. There have been some of the high flyers went able to save themselves by jumping on from the ring to the padded railings that are around the ring and leap back, amongst other different ways. Now, part of so that was the first pleasant surprise in regards to that. But overall, I'm going to say this: when watching the whole thing, or at least I'll say 98%, because I didn't catch the first 5 minutes. It started at 7. And me signing up for the WWE Network in the first 3 months, I missed the first 5 or 6 minutes. So therefore, it's not that bad anyway. But most of the people that were there, it looked like I was watching a NBA match. Everybody was so calm, so, you know, reserved, that normally it used to be kind of like a rowdy affair, that people cheering and everything else. It was fucking exciting, but this be the case, it was very calm, it was very laid back. There were a few signs, but not fucking many. Normally there was a lot of fucking signs at a match. I don't know what's going on. Now, mind you, I was told from a someone I know, so I don't know how true, but it seems fairly true to begin with, that he was going to spend close to $4,000. But I seriously doubt the source. But he said that he was going to go this weekend to Philadelphia, where the Royal Rumble was. Speaking to him yesterday, he said I was going to go. His words was, I was going to go down to the Royal Rumble with a friend of mine for the live event instead of watching it on TV. And I said, really, what, how much, you're not going? And he said, no, I was going to buy the tickets, but a friend of mine bowed out at the last minute. I had them in the shopping cart. I was about to click buy and finalize it, and he bowed out when he asked his friend if he was sure he was going. And I said, really, out of curiosity, how much were the tickets going to cost you? He said, about $2,000. A piece. I said, I asked him flat out, it's like, $2,000 a piece. What seats? He said, there were pretty much front row ringside tickets. And I said, if that was the case, you should ask me. If you were sponsoring the ticket, I would have said, listen, I would have found some way to pay for fucking gas, and I would have went with you. Now, which meant this particular episode would probably be posted up later Monday afternoon instead of early Monday mornings, because there would have been an after party and road trip back and so forth and so on. And it would have been epic, but still, I would have offered to pay for gas. At least gas and probably something to drink on the way there or way back. But it, to me, it just seemed like a laid-back affair. There were a few surprises later on, which I'll get into in a moment. But there were a lot of, to me, like I said, I haven't seen, other than, like, Matt Hardy and a few folks like John Cena, Randy Orton. And even though I can include Kofi Kingston into this group because he's been around for a long time, I'm not because of race or anything like that, but he's been constantly part of the WWE over the past 15 years or so, and he's right now part of a tag team, a triple man tag team, and he's always there. He's always out and about doing his thing, being energetic as fucking hell. But me saying I'm surprised to see someone like John Cena, Randy Orton, and Rey Mysterio and The Miz. Like I said, the common names that came down was, and that was kind of surprised to see, was Goldust, The Miz, Dolph Ziggler, Randy Orton, and John Cena. Because they were kind of saying that, you know, I'm not coming back, I'm kind of retired or quasi-retired, especially Rey Mysterio, who was been doing mostly like the Mexican circuit, but or the South American circuit. But he was part of the Royal Rumble, and he was energetic as fuck, and he was pure Rey Mysterio. He didn't do his, I don't think I saw him do his usual thing, was hand off a mask to somebody in the audience, but that's his usual, either pay-per-view gig or his usual, if he was a regular in the WWE, that's his usual thing, what he does, but this was just coming down to the ring and getting into the fight. So that, him just coming down in his usual mask and doing his 619 and his usual energetic, high-flying, epic stuff. That was fun to see. It was good to see him come back to the WWE, at least for the night, because that's usually been the history behind the Royal Rumble. They'll have a couple of people that have not been part of the WWE for a while. Like, they would bring in Hacksaw Jim Duggan, or a few people like that, or a couple of the classics come in and do their thing. They might not, in essence, win or last a while, but it's part of the surprises and, you know, bring light to the audience. There were a few early, there was one quick toss out and elimination, and that was Sheamus, but I could understand why, because he had a match, it seemed, or I won't say seemed, but after the Royal Rumble was done, he had a tag team match with like two or three others that were in the Rumble earlier, so I could kind of understand why they were eliminated and why they didn't really make it that far. But one of the things I wanted to check during this was it, they said, I know I got off topic. The rules for the Royal Rumble is this. There are 30 people going to the ring. 30 people. This is a match that if no one is eliminated from the start to the last person in, is 30 people. That means that there are going to be 30 people in this ring. Never really happens, but there that's probably the worst case scenario, that there's going to be 30 people in this, 30 guys in this ring. Now, What happens is, in order to be eliminated, you have to be tossed over the top rope, and your feet have to touch the ground. Both feet have to touch the ground. Now, every minute and 30 seconds, a new person comes down to the ring to enter into the brawl, which allows time for it to be eliminated, so forth and so on, and space. And out of history, the person who has lasted the longest in the men's Royal Rumble, I'll say that now because there's now a women's Royal Rumble, the person who lasted the longest, which is over 62 minutes, is Rey Mysterio himself. And there's been a lot of numbers in that in reference to who lasted the longest, the shortest, so forth and so on. But I did a clock, and they were in and about a minute, between a minute and 30 and a minute and 40. Give or take, I guess, when they started the timer. And the winner of this year was Shinsuke Nakamura. Yeah, I'm mispronouncing his name. But he won the Men's Royal Rumble. And he put up a real good fight. He's one of the newer guys. I guess one of the newer guys in the WWE. So I hand it to him. You know, hey, why not? I will say this. One of the people that were the last ones in was Roman Reigns. He came into the ring with booze, and I was kind of shocked in a way to see him come down to this because of the fact that we reported last week due to there have been reports saying that he was pretty much under investigation for steroids. Not so much using them, but distributing them. But since I didn't hear anything in regards to him being kind of on suspension or dismissed for this aspect, so I guess until he's actually formally charged and or what have you, or the case is done, I guess the WWE just kept him in on this. But that's that. He came into a lot of boost. I don't think anybody wanted to see Roman Reigns win or John Cena win, even though a lot of people were kind of doing the usual Cena sucks, Cena rocks type of cheers. But when it was mostly Cena versus Roman Reigns, there were a lot of boos. People did not want to see it. They really wanted to see a new guy, a fresh blood, win this and get the push that they needed. So for Shinsuke to win this, let him go for the gold. His way to WrestleMania has been paved, so that's great. And, you know, like I said, this was part of a free trial, so in essence, I got Royal Rumble for free. I figured, why not? So, this was the first ever women's Royal Rumble this year. This year was their first ever Royal Rumble. So, all 30 women in this were part of setting a record. Meaning, whether or not this goes on, sets a new thing in later years that 30 years down the road, we're still seeing a women's Royal Rumble or a Divas, however you want to call it, a Divas or a women's Royal Rumble. If we do, fine, great, that's wonderful. Great to see the WWE being progressive. But if it's not so much, it was a good try. It was a very excellent and great try. But if it lasts 30 years, wonderful, awesome. Because every woman that participated in this, even the few pleasant surprises, were part of this. So they set their own record or made their way into the record books in regards to this in WWE history. And it was the same rules as for the women as it is for the men. Meaning, every minute and a half, I didn't time it, so every minute and a half, a new woman came down to the ring to join in the Rumble, which means they're, I've started in regards to both. For the guys and the gals, the first two entry opponents come in, which means the first person chosen and the second person chosen come down first. Then from that point, entry people from 3 on to 30, every minute and a half they come down. Because doing it the long form way is kind of stupid and probably takes too long. So, like I said, the women's rules are the same as guys, that it starts out with two people already in the ring. Every minute and a half, a new person comes down, and to be eliminated, over the top rope, and both feet have to touch the floor. Now, one of the funny things in the guys' matchup is, it wasn't so much the funny thing, but you have the atypical plans that, hey, I need a break, I need to, you know, rest my arm, rest my leg, or whatever, I need to take a moment or two. They roll out from underneath the bottom rope, therefore they're still in the competition, they're not eliminated, they take their breather, they roll back in, and they do their thing. And, like I said, over the top rope, both feet. The first, for the guys, Kofi got saved by one of his tag team partners that was eliminated. By when he got tossed over, Kofi grabbed onto the ropes, and his teammate rolled underneath and provided a human step stool, or a barrier between him and the ground. And therefore, he was still part of the match. Tried to keep him in the match a little bit longer. And I guess his tag team partners have a aspect with pancakes now. I'm not sure how that started. If you want to email the show and tell us how that started, please do so by emailing us at longcoatmafia@gmail.com. In order to step off and get a better grip, he was provided a big stack of pancakes to rest his foot on for a moment, and he was hopping around on one foot. Therefore, because of that rule of both feet have to be touching the ground. So therefore, if you're hopping around on one foot, you're not out. So, but as soon as he got back in the ring, he was tossed back out of the top rope and was eliminated because both his feet touched the ground. Now, with the women's, again, same rules, same opportunities, which means if you're able to either get the guard, land on the guard, or what have you, not touch the ground fully, therefore, you're able to, at least if you're able to work your way back to the ring, you're still in the match. And it continues like that for until the last person is standing. Now, for me, it played out exactly, I won't say exactly, but the same type of formula for the Women's Royal Rumble played out for, like, the guys, which meant you had a couple of classics. It was interesting to watch, it was, because, like, how they, you know, even though the women's division or divas, depending on which era you followed from, they've had, the WWE has had women wrestlers since, I think, the 90s, with the Attitude Era, but now they're trying to, you know, get more established and be just like the guys, and even though they've had women wrestlers back then and women part of the corporation as part of the entertainers, if not wrestlers, for quite some time, yes, they were able to use the same formula, meaning that one of the first people to come down as part of this was Vicky Guerrero. She came down with mic in hand saying, excuse me, her trademark, excuse me, being in her whiny little voice. Again, she did not last. I think she might have lasted about a minute 30 total. Another pleasant surprise that I was shocked to see, both, was for, let's see here, was Beth, one of the shocks for me, yes, Natalya showed up, and she's been around for a good many years, and her father was, I think, Bret Hart, part of the Hart Foundation. Please, old school wrestling fans, if you're listening to this, please correct me. Is one of the, she's like second generation of or third generation wrestler, but she came down. But what was a surprise for me was hearing Beth Phoenix theme song and seeing her come down to the ring. She's been out of wrestling for a good 5-10 years. I think she might have had a child of her own with Edge, but I could be wrong. But it was nice to see her back and in action doing her thing, along with Nikki and Brie Bella. Yes, that's right. The Bella twins were back as well, wrestling, doing their fun thing. And the person that seemed to last the longest was, I thought she was going to go all the way or have her go all the way. Turned out I was wrong. And the person was Sasha Banks, and she lasted for about 53, 54 minutes and possibly change. So she set the record for the longest time right now, which if whoever comes after her, if they're able to last the same amount of time as Rey Mysterio, God bless them. But still, she set a record. She set the bar high. Just like I think no one could probably top Rey Mysterio's 62 minutes and change 63 minutes. She set it for 53 minutes. So I think it's going to be tough for someone to beat her time, but still, this is the first Women's Royal Rumble. I'm willing to say, if they do it again next year and they keep doing it, why the fuck not? Set the bars high, keep them going. Let's see if they're able to beat the all the possible goals and records. Keep setting new records year in, year out. And setting that precedent in a good way, in a positive way. But the person who won was Asuka. I think she just goes by Asuka. Won the Female Royal Rumble. And she gets to choose who she wants to go after. The Raw Women's Champion or the SmackDown Champion. They didn't really go into before she could sign, decide. There was another walk-in music, and it was Ronda Rousey with the same type of font as Piper, Rowdy Roddy Piper's font that he used. But that besides the point, she did get authorization from the Piper family to kind of use that font and use the Rowdy type of moniker. So she came out. Whether or not this means she is officially part of the WWE, I have no idea. If she is, great, that's awesome. But what happened was she came out, Ronda Rousey came out, came down to the ring. Shook fans' hands up, a little bit around the ring. Went into the ring, went to shake Asuka's hand. It was pushed away. Rousey kind of eyeballed everybody up, pointed to the WrestleMania sign, and kind of, if you were able to read the lips, she said, I'll be there then. So we might be seeing her at WrestleMania this year, which is in April. I think it's April 8th. After the whole aspect of giving everybody the "I'm coming for you gals" look, she came back out, all smiles, greet again, went around the ring, shook fans' hands, went up to Stephanie McMahon, extended her hand, they shook hands, and she walked right back into the locker room. And so that was the end of pretty much the Royal Rumble. What's going to happen over the next couple of months? Heck, the end of February, there is going to be the Elimination Chamber match, so I might be able to see that and give a report of what I think about that. So, who knows? Who knows? I think that that's about it for now. That's all my notes. Like I said, I ranted about what I wanted to rant about, which is about the Royal Rumble. Like I said, free trial. It's normally $10 a month. I'm just going to have it for a month. And I'll probably, because I am kind of a subscriber for the month, I might check a few things out. But I've been watching a lot of old school cartoons on YouTube, mostly Disney's Recess, ironically enough. But I'll have to get back into things, and next week I might have a few reviews, depending on what comes down between now and the end of the week. So who knows, I might have a creepypasta for y'all. And as of this week, it has been 10 stinking months without me using a classic Electric Eye episode. Who knows, if depending on how long things go, I'll try to keep new episodes and fresh episodes out there. Just everything right now, today, Sunday, now it's officially Monday here on the East Coast, there were a lot of stuff that I was able to talk about and rant about, including Mountain Dew Ice, the Royal Rumble, and a few other things, including Xbox Live and PlayStation Network and Netflix and Hulu and whole mess of stuff. So if you're listening to us on your desktop computer or laptop computer through iTunes, but you don't, if you want to use us on the go, if you have an iPad, an iPhone, or an iPod Touch, you can find us on Apple Podcasts. But if you're an Android user, even though you listen to us on iTunes on your computer or through our website, which is thelongcoatmafia.podbean.com, and yes, the word "the" is part of the website. But as I was saying, if you use a Android-based device, whether it's a tablet or phone or any other Android-based product, you could find us on Google Play Music. And not to mention, we are on Stitcher Radio, which means if you use the Stitcher app, you can find us that way. If, by some strange chance, you use Spotify, you can now find us on Spotify. That's right, we're now on Spotify, so you can find us that way. And we're also on the Podbean app, so that's awesome. And we keep hearing every now and again that from Podbean themselves that you can have the Podbean app on your Alexa based device. So if you want, you can install Alexa on Podbean on your Alexa and listen to us anywhere in your house. That's awesome. Not to mention, if you listen to us on your phone, you can listen to us that way, or on your computer. So no matter how you want to listen to us, there's plenty of options. Some of the links will be down in our show's description, one way or shape or form. So that's that. Plus, we do have as I said before, we have a Facebook page. Our Facebook page is facebook.com/TheLongCoatMafiaPodcast. And we're on Twitter at LongCoatMafia. And our Instagram page is LongCoatMafia. So feel free to stalk us on Facebook and Instagram and Twitter. I try to be a little bit more interactive. Yes, we do have a YouTube page. I gotta post some videos up to that, including our initial reactions to drinking Mountain Dew Ice and our first day rants in regards to that, our little angry rant. So there's that. And plus, there is a Long Coat Mafia Facebook group. That way you have a better way of interacting with us at the show. And plus, it'll give you a better chance if anything you want to promote. That way you have a better way of letting it shine. That way it doesn't get lost in the shuffle of our Facebook page. Even though we do allow you to post things to our Facebook page as well. So I do thank you for listening. Take care. See you. I can't really say see you guys next week, but stay tuned to next week. There's more stuff to come, and we're keeping our fingers crossed right now, hoping by beyond hope that we get our press passes to AwesomeCon, even though Karen Gillian has dropped out of AwesomeCon. But no worries. No worries. We have a plan. We have a plan. So stay tuned. Again, stay tuned for next week's episode. And I am out.
See you next time on the Long Coat Mafia.